You are listening to a sermon by Claire Goodfellow, recorded on Sunday, November 7th, 2021, at Point Grey Intermennonite Fellowship in Vancouver, British Columbia. The opinions expressed by the speaker are not necessarily those of the church. This recording is licensed for personal use by individuals only and may not be copied, broadcast, or redistributed without the prior permission of the church board. For more information, please visit our website at www.pgimf.org.
When I was a student at Wilfrid Laurier University in Waterloo, Ontario, during the last century, I took an Old Testament course with a professor who was a Palestinian archaeologist. His name was Dr. Toombs. I really, really enjoyed his class because he made the Old Testament characters come alive. He dusted them off and he gave them breath and texture and color. They weren't holy and perfect, but flawed and interesting people who had lived lives full of mistakes, and sometimes they got it right. The experienced loss and struggle, trials, political maneuverings, joy and success. They felt disappointments, failures, and triumphs, and were as well manipulators, cheaters, scoundrels, who could also be loving, generous, and forgiving. These people are called the children of God. Jacob is one of those characters. Frederick Buechner identified him as a dyed-in-the-wool, double-barreled con artist. When I read the story of Jacob and Esau, I was intrigued with the idea of how Jacob manipulated the situation for his own good, and how does that square out in the end? It was recommended that I read Rabbi Jonathan Sacks' book, Not in God's Name, and in particular, the chapter on Jacob and Esau. We may not all be Jacobs, but we may have met a few, those who work to achieve their goals at the expense of others. And then when life throws challenges in our direction, often decisions are made that we have little or no control over, and we must make life work out somehow. Thomas Merton once said, "People spend their whole lives climbing the ladder of success, only to find once they've reached the top, that the ladder is leaning against the wrong wall." We can look at Jacob in that light, if you will. Esau was the eldest and favored by his father, Isaac. Esau was the firstborn. He was an energetic hunter and a man of the fields and a classic hero. Jacob wanted to be Esau. So he set about to put his ladder on Esau's wall, so to speak, and get what he, Jacob, wanted. First, Jacob persuaded Esau, who happened to be very hungry coming home from a hunt one day, to sell his birthright to him for a pot of stew. That's not hard to do when you're tired and the blood sugar is low and your birthright and its responsibilities aren't a priority at the time. Then Jacob, with his mother's assistance, was able to deceive Isaac, who was blind and couldn't see the disguise that Jacob was wearing. So Isaac gave Esau's blessing to Jacob. It was a blessing of wealth and power over his brother, an impressive wall on which to set your ladder, just what Jacob wanted. Understandably, Esau was a little upset in the light of day, so to speak, so he threatened to kill Jacob. Subsequently, Jacob packed up his ladder and fled. On his escape from Esau, Jacob encounters God in a dream in which a ladder ascends to heaven. In this dream, God assures Jacob the land on which he is sleeping will be his, with a future for his descendants, and a guarantee of God's presence with him, until the time that the promises that were made are fulfilled. Jacob honors this place with a memorial stone. And then after years away with Laban, who wasn't much of a role model himself, Jacob experienced a little character building and subsequent maturity and decides to return home. In preparation for this homecoming, he sends gifts of sheep and cattle to his brother as part of a process of returning the blessing he had taken years before, perhaps the beginning of restitution. And Jacob prays in preparation for his eventual meeting with the brother he betrayed and whose blessing he stole. he's realized, perhaps amongst other things, that his ladder had been on the wrong wall. That night, he wrestles with an angel. Jacob believes that it was God with whom he struggled and wouldn't let the angel go until he blessed Jacob. Genesis 32:30, I saw God face to face, yet my life was spared. Here, God gives Jacob the name Israel that signifies struggle. Rabbi Sacks suggests that the struggle with the angel was in fact Jacob's struggle with himself in the presence of God. For in the past, Jacob had wanted to be Esau and to have what was Esau's. The angel reminds Jacob that he is free to be himself and to hang on to God. God will not let you go, and you don't need to let go of him. So Jacob carefully prepares for a battle with Esau. After all, Esau had threatened to kill him years before. Hence, when he meets Esau, Jacob behaves in a very contrite manner, as is required of one who is a servant. Jacob bows and prostrates himself 7 times, refers to Esau as my Lord and himself as Esau's servant for a total of 7 times. The blessing he so desired earlier as Lord over his brother is no longer important. There's a kind of role reversal, if you will. Esau runs to greet him, then embraces his younger brother in tears and forgives him. There is a reconciliation. Jacob's ladder is back on his own wall. While we may not be Jacob's in a hurry to collect our winnings, we all have things and situations, people and frustrations and betrayals on which we have pitched our ladders and where letting go is a struggle. Intellectually, we all know that in the letting go of and or forgiving lies freedom. Just as Jacob let go and gave back what she had stolen from Esau, so he finds freedom. And for Esau, in his forgiveness of Jacob, there is freedom as well. Sometimes it takes a long time to let go, real or imagined. For Jacob, it was about 22 years. However, if we take the time and reflect on our lives honestly, we can see the hand of God was with us, is with us, even in the desperate times. Just as Jacob, after giving up his security of Esau's stolen blessing, was left, as Rabbi Sacks noted, to hang on to God, he didn't lack for anything. In fact, he was incredibly blessed. Our blessings don't always come in material things, and our success isn't always measured in tangible, public, or obvious ways. And more importantly, our security is not in these things as well. Just as God told Jacob, behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go, Genesis 28:15. God is present with us, his children. Our security comes from exercising a trust in an everlasting loving God who showed what love was through his faithfulness to his people during all kinds of chaos and through his son, Jesus Christ. Our foundation in him is firm and everlasting, and that is our security, nothing else. That's what we hang on to. That's the wall on which we lean our ladder. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.